This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا زدنا علما اللهم اجعل القرآن ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا. We begin in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Granter of Mercy. All praise be to Allah, Lord of the Worlds. All praise be to Allah, who sent down upon His servant the final scripture, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, and did not allow for any crookedness therein. And all praise be to Allah for everything His book contains. And all praise be to Allah who did not leave us to ourselves and to our vices without a book. Instead, He sent messengers and He revealed scriptures and He preserved the final scripture so that by it He can extract us from the darkness and bring us into the light. And so that everybody can choose in light of this book with their eyes open. Salvation or doom, and nothing remains after that except our jihad, our struggle to remain close to that book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write these gatherings among our sincere efforts towards being closer to His book. Allahumma ameen. So we will inshallah cover Surah Al-Duha today and Surah Al-Qadr. If you know why I'm smiling, you know. If you don't know why I'm smiling, you may find out by the end of the class today, inshallah. Okay. Don't beg. It's because we've been putting off Surah Al-Qadr, keep running out of time on the back end of every class, but inshallah azza wa jalla, we'll pace ourselves a bit better. So, but Surah Al-Duha. Surah Al-Duha, Duha means the morning sunlight or the morning brightness. And the backstory for this, nearly all scholars of tafsir, they mention that the surah came down at the resumption, at resuming the revelation coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So revelation first began with Iqra, with recite, the story of the cave in Al-Hira, and then it hiatus, it interrupted. There was a pause in revelation that deeply distressed our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not know what to make of it. And in fact, his enemies, those that had heard early on that he was claiming to be a prophet, receiving messages from the heavens, began to taunt him in the streets and tell him there's no more Quran, there's no more revelation, why has the revelation stopped? And they would taunt him about this. It appears Muhammad's demon has deserted him. A'udhu billah. His demon, he's possessed, his demon has deserted him, is what they would say. And so after a few days or a few weeks, in some narrations that many scholars have rejected, it's mentioned that it took a few years. How long was the pause is unclear to us, but there was a pause. Enough of a pause to distress our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immediately after that pause, Allah azza wa jal reveals wadduha. I swear by the morning brightness, or I swear by the morning sunlight. Wal layli idha saja. And I swear by the night when it falls still, or when it covers and falls still. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. This is what is being sworn about, that your Lord has not abandoned you, your Lord has not deserted you. وَمَا قَلَى, nor has He detested, meaning hated, you, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And so he's swearing by the morning brightness, swearing by the night as it falls still, as it settles and covers and falls still, swearing about the fact that your Lord has not detested you, your Lord has not abandoned you. The scholar said perhaps the relevance of what is being sworn by here in relation to what is being sworn about is that he felt like he was left in the dark. And so Allah brought the brightness out of the dark. And he was sitting anxious, restless in the night. And Allah swears by the night as it is supposed to be a place of security, meaning don't get unnerved by any of this. Don't feel left in the dark by any of this. I swear by the brightness, which I cause to come out every morning. I swear by the night, which I created to give you peace. Don't feel compromised in your peace. Your Lord has not deserted you. Your Lord does not hate you. As if Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I swear to you, don't worry, I didn't leave you. And you know, even subhanAllah, the appropriateness, the befittingness of the word Rabbuka, your Lord. How could I leave you? I'm your Rabb. I've always been there for you. I've always taken care of you. Meaning even during this pause, I'm still taking care of you. Right? It's by design. It's part of my care for you that I caused even this pause to happen. It's not an exception or an exemption of my care for you. You know, there are many reports about exactly what the Prophet ﷺ was doing. Of them is that when Jibreel alayhi salam continued visiting him, he still wanted more and more. And he said to him, مَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَزُورَنَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا تَزُورُنَا. Why don't you visit us more often? The Prophet ﷺ saying to Jibreel, more so than you already visit us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed yet another verse in Surah Maryam. In response to the Prophet's request of Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah said, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. And we don't come down, we don't sort of make that trip to you, to visit you daily or less or more, except by a command from your Lord, لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا. Allah owns time. Allah owns all things. He owns what's in front of us, and He owns what's behind us, وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ, and everything in between. Then the verse ends, the same verse, Surah Maryam, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. And your Lord is not forgetful. I didn't forget about you for a few days. That's not what it is. Rather, this is a design. There is a greater wisdom at play. I'm your Rabb, and I'm creating through this pause a greater outcome. What was that greater outcome? What was the benefit of the pause? Anybody? Did I catch you off guard with the question? You were in listening mode? They said perhaps it was to create greater longing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, create greater appreciation. Because you know, you may not really know a blessing until you get it. But even when you get it, you don't really know it until you lose it. Right? Like, you know, they say if you're too far, you can't really see. And if you get too close, you don't fully see. But the one that was far and came close, or was close and went far, by contrast, right? It gives a very different perspective. A very different perspective. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, after allowing the Prophet ﷺ to taste revelation, there is now a very special tarbiyah. Rabbuka, I'm your Lord, I take care of you. Of the way I take care of you is I want you to recall after tasting it what it's like to thirst for it. What it's like to thirst for it after having tasted it. So there is a special tarbiyah. You know the word tarbiyah, like development and upbringing and care? Tarbiyah comes from the word Rabb. They're from the same root. Rabba, Rabba, tarbiyah, same root. So there is a special tarbiyah that Allah provides for those closest to Him. He does tarbiyah of their souls for them, not just tarbiyah, nourishment of their bodies. However, the Prophet ﷺ was worried before he knew this, before it resumed. It was like, did I do something wrong? Did I mess up? And in that is also a lesson for us, because it is adab, the proper manners, etiquette of a believer with his Lord, to point the finger at himself first, right? Say, like, what did I do? Did I mess up? You know, like the famous hadith, there is some discussion about its authenticity, but I just want you to capture the concept in the narration of when he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was rejected and pelted with stones, and he bled, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after returning from At-Ta'if, or At-Ta'if, and he was driven out. In the famous, beautiful dua, he said what? إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. Oh Allah, you're going to leave me to who? They will not have any mercy on me. Oh Allah, if so long as you are not angry at me, then I don't mind. That's part of his adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, similar to this is the story of Ayyub alayhi salam as well, another great prophet of Allah azza wa jal. You know, when Allah says, I tested Ayyub with his wealth and with his health and with his family, everything was taken away from him, right? It was pulled. And it is said that it remained this way not for a year or two or 10, but 18 years. They say what hurt Ayyub alayhi salam the most in that period was the taunting of the people who began saying, God hates Ayyub. Look what he's doing to him. Look how long he's dragging him through this. God must hate him. So that whisper began to seep into Ayyub. Say, does Allah hate me? Did I mess up? Maybe I'm overlooking something. And this is why Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, we find in the Quran, because any believer who cares about his relationship with Allah will jump to that concern, that suspicion. Did I fall out of favor? And this is a beautiful quality of a believer, so long as it does not drive you to despair. So Ayyub alayhi salam, Ibn Kathir says, Allah says to us about him very specifically in the Quran, we return to him his health and his wealth and his family as a mercy from us, wa dhikra lil abidin, and as a reminder for the worshippers. That you could be one of the greatest worshippers of Allah. Yes, start by wondering, did I mess up? But also know, don't go into despair. Also know that you could be of the greatest worshippers of Allah, and He puts you through very difficult tests. Tests that most people won't understand, right? You know, in Sahih al-Bukhari, it says that one of the prophets of Allah died due to the suffering of lice. Lice. You know lice? If a person were infected with lice, you say, this is God's curses upon this man. Allah is punishing this person, right? So the believer is to understand through the lens of revelation that you could be of the greatest worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal and go through tests that people that don't have your lenses will not understand. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ was taunted and Allah is telling him, I am your Rabb. I'm your Rabb and I'm taking care of you. Even this is part of the ways that I'm going to elevate you. You know, even another subtlety here in this ayah, it says, ma wada'aka, your Lord has not abandoned you. You know, wada'a is like farewell. He has not sort of walked away from you or driven you away. Wada'aka, rabbuka wa ma qalaka. No, it doesn't say qalaka. It says qala. He has not hated. Obviously, it means hated you. You're the subject here. But it does not say hated you. They said out of honoring for the Prophet ﷺ, Allah did not put the pronoun you there with the word hate. So even in negation, Allah's not saying he didn't hate you. He said he didn't hate and left out the word you. Qalaka is not said. It just says qala. Did you get it? What happened there? It's very beautiful. And there are so many instances like this in the Quran, just to show us, subhanAllah, the very special rank of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, sir.
People obviously didn't hate by saying, by omitting the you, he's saying there's no hate in general.
Is that what you're saying? No. The ayah says, JazakAllah for the question. The ayah says, ma wada'aka, your Lord has not abandoned you. Wada'aka, has not abandoned you. So you would think to match it up, it would say, wa ma qalaka, and has not hated you. Not abandoned you, not has hated you. But it's not what the verse says. The verse says, has not abandoned you and has not hated. Obviously, it means hated you. Has not hated you. But the word you was left out of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And, you know, there are many similar subtleties in the Quran, throughout the Quran. Exactly. To further distance the concept a few inches more out of your head that's even imaginable, that Allah would hate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, it is similar to the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah has pardoned you, but why did you let them go? Why did you release them, these people of your army? He began with, Allah has forgiven you. Then he asked the reprimanding question. Or another similar incident in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. We revealed to you this Surah Yusuf, and before we revealed it to you, you were of those unaware. He didn't say you were unaware. كُنْتَ غَافِلًا. Meaning it's not your fault, not to be held against you. No one on earth knew this story, including you. The min there widened it to not throw any blame on the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Okay, so, and your Lord has not hated, obviously intended here is hated you. You know, what's the difference? Not abandoned you, not hated you. Sometimes you can walk away from someone and you don't hate them, right? And sometimes you can stay by someone and you hate them. And that's why both of them were being cleared here, right? I have neither walked away nor hated. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla was building in him a longing for the Quran by this hiatus from it. And while sort of this is something reserved for prophets and messengers, this can somewhat apply to us as well. I mean, if Ramadan was not 1 month out of the 12, it wouldn't have been extra special, right? Allah allows us to taste Ramadan so that it stays special. But continuing with the promises to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And certainly the akhirah is better for you than the ula. Okay, so the scholars mentioned two meanings here. Because of the word akhirah, what does akhirah mean? And ula, what does ula mean? So akhir could just mean last, right? Akhir could mean last. And ula from awwal could mean first, right? So that which is coming later is better than that which is coming earlier. That's the general meaning. But the scholars gave two examples of this. They said this was intended in this world, and this was intended in the hereafter as well. Meaning, what is en route in this world is even better. It's not just about you getting revelation and getting enlightened, and there's still a lot of good happening. You think revelation resuming is the greatest thing to ever happen. Wait till this revelation starts filling the hearts of humanity. Wait till you start seeing this in your lifetime. Right? What is to come is better than what has come. Even the resuming of revelation with Surah Al-Duha is not the best of it. Wait till people start entering Islam in waves. وَرَأَيْتَ. And you with your own two eyes see النَّاس, humanity, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Entering the religion of Allah in waves. That's in this world. And in the next world, of course, what awaits in the hereafter is far better than whatever accomplishments, achievements, wins we have in store for you in this dunya. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will certainly give you until you are pleased. Allah will keep giving you until you are pleased. Can you imagine the rank of the Prophet ﷺ? Until you're pleased. You know, Musa alayhi salam, the contrast is often made, said, "Oh Allah, I'm going to keep racing towards you until you are pleased." وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Right? Allah is saying about the Prophet Muhammad, I'm going to give you until you're pleased. Because of how much love he has, special love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Interestingly also, it doesn't mention what he will give him. It's open-ended, as if it's an endless stream. Because the givings of Allah are innumerable. They can't be counted. I will give you. It doesn't say give you what. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he used to say about this ayah that this ayah is the most hope-filled ayah in the Quran. I will give you until you are pleased. There is no more reason to hope in the Quran than this ayah. Why? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains why. He says because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not be pleased until his whole ummah enters Jannah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know the hadith, the famous hadith of ummati, ummati. That one night in the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the ummah continues to enjoy Allah's mercy because of, until this very day, and into the hereafter. And into the hereafter. When he would stand at night weeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pleading and begging Allah azza wa jal, saying, ummati, ummati. Oh Allah, my ummah. Oh Allah, my ummah. Never allow them to go astray. Never allow them to be annihilated. Right? Never allow them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Jibreel alayhi salam to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, Allah has heard what you have said and has informed me that I should declare to you, I should communicate to you, Inna sanurdika fi ummatika wala nasu'uk. We will please you regarding your ummah. We will not disappoint you. And in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu ummati yadkhulna al-jannah illa man aba. All of my ummah will enter paradise except those who refuse. They said, who would ever refuse at Rasulullah? He said, whomever obeys me enters Jannah. That's how you accept the invitation. The open invitation to his entire ummah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. And whomever disobeys me has refused. And we will certainly give you until you are pleased. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. So this is the second of three sections in the surah, if you will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds him of the times he has already taken care of him prior. Alam, has he not, yajidika, found you, yatiman, as an orphan, fatherless, as an orphan, fa'awa, and so he sheltered. SubhanAllah. Everything was taken away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lost his father before he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And then his beloved mother very early in his life is taken from him. And then his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, very early in his life, at 8 years old, is taken from him. And then his most beloved city, Mecca, he is driven out of it and he's taken from him. But Allah always sheltered him, always took care of him, right? Sheltered him with Medina, sheltered him with the Medinans, sheltered him with the believers, always. Alam yajid, from day one, from the day you were an orphan. Alam yajidika yateeman fa'awa, did he not find you as an orphan? Fa'awa. And then he sheltered. Wa wajadaka dhalan fahada. And then he found you dal, he found you misguided, meaning without guidance. That's why he translated as unguided in some translations. Found you lost, right? And then he guided you. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that his society had it all wrong. But he did not know what was right. He couldn't, right? It's beyond the reach of human effort. Revelation is a secret revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you were dying to find out what is right, and I spoke to you. Is there anything better than I spoke to you? I communicated with you directly. And so that idea of I had no idea how to fix it, and Allah reveals to me, and now I know what He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, beautifully, not only does He get guided, but he becomes the definition for guidance. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you truly love Allah, follow me, the ayah says. قُلْ, say to them, if you love Allah, then follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The third one, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And he found you, عَائِل. عَائِل means impoverished. عَائِل means in need. فَأَغْنَى, and then he enriched. Question. Was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wealthy? Was he rich? Sisters, would you like to disagree with the brothers? Okay, rich with knowledge. No, we're talking about financially this time. That was a good save though. Because that one you can't be wrong, Khan. Sisters, what do you think? Was the Prophet ﷺ rich or not? Huh? So Khadija was rich. He wasn't sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? Don't agree with me. I cannot be trusted. Okay? Brother Minhaj is just someone I can't disagree with publicly. Huh? He was? Okay. So, first of all, he was rich by the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the days, the early days, he was not rich. Certainly was not rich, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we know that? Because the ayah said it. We found you poor. And then he became rich. How do we know that? Because the ayah says it. He became rich. In fact, The hadith says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be presented with a funeral procession, janazah, he would ask them, does he have any debts? Does he owe money? If they would say yes, he would say, sallu ala sahibikum. Pray over your brother. And he would excuse himself from leading the janazah prayer as a means of emphasizing to people, don't play games with debts. Don't take debts lightly. Live within your means as best you can. Only borrow money if there's a necessity, right? But the hadith says, then when Allah enriched him, he began to cover the debts of his companions himself. He would repay them himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now he had the money to do it, and the message was already delivered that you guys gotta take it seriously. Now he would do the favor, because there would be no harm in coverage then. But the point is, when he, Allah enriched him. Enriched him through jihad, right? وَجُعِلَ رِزْقِي تَحْتَ ظِلِّ رُمْحِي وَجُعِلَ الذِّلَّةُ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, my provisions were made to be under the shade of my spear. The spoils, right? He would take less than the chiefs of the tribes would ordinarily take before Islam, and he would spend it almost entirely all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But he was enriched by that. And humiliation and disgrace was placed upon those who disobey my command. Just finish out the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Okay, so he was rich, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of the distinctions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah combined for him what he hardly combined for any other human being in terms of what? Receiving the reward of both being the poor person who was patient upon his poverty and the rich person who was grateful and generous upon his prosperity. He got both rewards of al-faqir al-sabir and al-ghani al-shakir. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah destined for him to have both of those stations secured in his scale of good deeds. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, found you an orphan and sheltered. Found you lost and guided. Found you poor and financed or enriched. Now, there's three more to close out the surah. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. So as for the orphan, do not be belligerent towards them. قَهَرْ is like oppression and domination, right? Do not subjugate them. Let me just read the three and then we'll go back to them. We'll circle it again. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the asker, some translate it as the beggar, but I prefer the asker. Do not repulse. Don't shoo them away. Don't scold them. Don't drive them away. And وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the favors of your Lord, حَدِّثْ. Proclaim them, meaning in gratitude. So the scholars said, notice, these correspond, right? This is the perks of visual aid. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. He found you an orphan and he sheltered. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan now, don't oppress them. I took care of you, now you go take care of them. You were in need. And I took care of your need. Now you be a means for others that are weak, that are in need, that are orphans, take care of them. And of course, he used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to intensely emphasize this to the Sahaba. He would say in the hadith, إِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ حَقَّ الضَّعِفَيْنِ. I stress to you the right of the two weak sectors of society, al-yatim wal-mar'a, the orphan and the woman. Do not take advantage, don't leave them vulnerable. I stress to you these two points, or these two individuals, the orphan and the woman. The second one was what? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you lost, and then he guided. So the second instruction was what? وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. As for the one asking, don't scold them. This is why I don't like beggar. Beggars is limiting. Because if it corresponds with guidance, then asker here is the seeker of knowledge, not the seeker of charity, not the seeker of money. Does that make sense? Because they correspond. because they correspond. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ, when people would come to him, the delegations would come and they want to learn Islam, he would be cheerful, would be welcoming, right? Would make himself available at any hour he could, alayhi salatu wasalam. He would say to them, marhaban, ghayra khazaya wala nadimin, or nadama, welcome, welcome, you will not be disappointed. Or just like the other surah, the ayah in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا, when there comes to you those believing in our signs, فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, tell them, peace be upon you, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, our Lord has enjoined mercy upon himself. Meaning, come, 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 our Lord is a Lord of mercy. There's only mercy from this point forward. There's only ease from this point forward. And there's, subhanAllah, so many hadith about how the Prophet ﷺ would even enjoin the Sahaba that later generations will come to you for my hadith, so celebrate them, so honor them. And the Sahaba used to. So, found you an orphan and sheltered, don't abuse the orphan. Found you lost and guided, when the asker comes, don't scold them, give them your time, give them with liberality, give them without measure. The third one was what? وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and he found you poor and he enriched you. And the third instruction was وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, speak about the favor of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, admit it, speak about it, proclaim it, not in boast but in gratitude and appreciation. Of the beautiful nuances in the surah as we close out is that Allah Azza wa Jal did not say he found you an orphan, فَآوَاكَ, so he sheltered you. Because it's not just sheltered you, it's he sheltered through this orphan you and others through you. Right? He sheltered not just you. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and found you lost and he guided. Doesn't say فَهَدَاكَ, he guided you, because that would be limiting. He guided you and guided the world through you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and he found you poor, so he enriched. He didn't just enrich you, he enriched the world through you, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Before moving to Surah Al-Qadr, if we were to summarize, you know, some of the lessons of the surah, is the first of them is Allah wants us to check. How much do we yearn for his book? You know, when you don't crave the Qur'an, when you don't have a thirst for the Qur'an, this is of the signs that the heart has, the health of the heart has become critical. Right? Like, those who taste the Qur'an cannot stay away from the Qur'an. Right? Prophet ﷺ was longing for it. If you can stay away from the Qur'an, that means what? That means you've lost the taste of the Qur'an. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us and rectify our condition. And it could even be a punishment sometimes that you get sent looking elsewhere for what you already found in the Quran, right? You just get sent on these wild goose chases. You go back to looking at entertainment and binging on movies or binging on food or otherwise. And this could actually be a penalty. Number two, recalling the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his past favors on you, is essential to offsetting your grim, your negative, your pessimistic outlook on life. Right? Didn't I already take care of you as an orphan? Right? You tell yourself, like, wasn't I a fetus in my mother's womb? And there could have been blood clots. It was kind of tight in there. It was dark. Right? That same one has never stopped being our caretaker, our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing is that the believer, this is not just about the Prophet ﷺ, the believer, and always remember, this is a rule throughout, the believer has a share of the glad tidings Allah extends to the prophets, to the degree that he follows the prophets, right? Where did the scholars get this principle from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O prophet, hasbuk Allah, Allah is sufficient enough for you, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and whomever of the believers follows you. It doesn't mean is enough for you and the believers the same way. No, the Prophet has a distinction. but and the believers in a similar way, to the extent that they follow you. Hasbuk Allah, Allah is hasbuk, enough for you, and hasb man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin, and enough for those who follow you from among the believers. So with Surah Duha, all the favors of the Prophet ﷺ, or the Surah after it, but before it in our discussion, because we're working upwards, we're working backwards. So the sharh, you want Allah to expand your chest. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your path. You want Allah to shelter people through you and guide people through you and enrich people through you. Follow your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the Prophet to the extent that you do, you will become all of that. You will have a share of all of these glad tidings given to him.